Go ahead and continue, therefore, with our study here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is, of course, the chapter of the resurrection chapter. We've spent just a number of weeks on this, and I trust it has been helpful and enjoyable for you to do so. We want to pick up this morning over at verse 45. When we were together 2 weeks ago, we touched on very, very briefly verse 45, 46, 47, and we just need to go back and kind of review some additional details here that are very important to what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He says at verse, start with me at verse 45, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall," you need to underline that shall, the definiteness of it, "we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for the time to look into your word this morning. We're grateful for this past week that we were able to enjoy up at our family Bible camp, enjoying the word, your word, enjoying the fellowship, and the encouragement, the edification, the insight that we received for our lives, for living our lives, for your glory and honor. We pray that as we study this morning, that we might have a greater appreciation of the great contrasts that you have placed here about the earthy, and the heavenly. Well, thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, if you look again down, start with me at verse 45, it says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit." If you want a real simple tool to kind of study this section here, what you can do is grab a piece of paper, fold that piece of paper in half from top to bottom. In other words, you have a line, like a middle line, running from top to bottom of your paper. And on the left side, you're going to write down the first Adam, and on the right side, you're going to write down the last Adam. The first Adam and the last Adam. And you can just make, I mean, it's just contrast after contrast after contrast from verse 45 all the way down to verse 49. By the way, it didn't start there. It actually goes back up to verse 42. Everything is contrast. You've got, it's sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. And you can just go on down the list there. Corruption to incorruption. It says it's weakness raised in power. Sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. And then it says at verse 45, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening. So you've got a living soul and a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. There's the next contrast. The first man, there's the next contrast, is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As well as earthy and heavenly, that's a contrast. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. There's like 10 things in this section here that the Apostle Paul sets in stark, absolute contrast with each other. We're not going to go through all the 10 things. That's not the point. It's simply to say that if you want to fill in some details in your own personal Bible study, like I say, you can get a piece of paper, draw a line right down the center. On the left side, put the first Adam. On the right side, put the last Adam. And then write down all the things that the Apostle Paul sets in contrast here. And you can see what a stark difference there is between our identity and our relationship in Adam the first and our identity and relationship to Adam the last, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what he's doing here. Now, again, that's going to be for your own personal Bible study to do. You'll find it very enjoyable, but let's just take a few minutes to kind of go down and look at some of these things here. He says at verse 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Jump ahead to verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. The first thing to notice is how when the Apostle Paul is talking about the resurrection body here, and he looks at the issue of humanity, and of course the need of resurrection and so forth. When he looks across the sea of humanity, it's as though God really only sees two men. That is, of course, the first man, Adam, and the last Adam. The first Adam and the last Adam. The first man and the second man. When God looks at humanity, there's a real... I know we say that God sees every one of us individually, and that's certainly a true statement, but he sees everyone individually in relationship to their identity. He sees us all individually in relationship to our, as some have said, our federal head. In the Word of God, when God looks at humanity, he sees two men. He sees, as they say, the federal head, two men. The first man, Adam, he's one head of everyone in him. The last man, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the head of everyone that's in him. When God looks at humanity, there's a real sense in which he only sees two men. Adam the first and Adam the last. Adam the earthy and Adam the heavenly. Adam the man of the dust and Adam the man from heaven. God sees every person either in Adam the first or in Adam the last. And a person's eternal destiny, a person's relationship to God, frankly, is contingent upon whether they are in and whether they're found in Adam the first or in Adam the last. We've already addressed this. The Apostle Paul has already addressed this earlier in the chapter. If you'll look at verse 21. Look at verse 21. It says, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." So the Apostle Paul has already brought this to our attention earlier in the chapter, that it's by man that came death, and that's the problem that man and everybody in Adam faces, and they need a solution for that problem. And Adam the last, the Lord Jesus Christ, in him is life, in him is the solution for this great enemy of man called death. So you can see at verse 21 there when he says, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." It was only a man. It required a man to get man out of this quagmire. It required a man to come and do what Adam the first failed to do, and in fact, what Adam the first brought upon humanity. You see, angels could not rescue man from death. Animals could not rescue man from death. Verse 21 states very clearly, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." It required someone that was equal to man in order to rescue man from this great enemy called death. And of course, at verse 22 it says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." The solution for man in Adam is to get out of Adam and into Christ, where there is life. "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." And if you'll look a little bit further ahead, go back with me, if you would, over to verse 45 here. And you can see Paul following up with that same thought here. "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." So the first thing I want you to notice in this section here is that really, really there are only two men. In all of history, there are only two men. Again, let me clarify that. I'm not saying that God doesn't see us individually. He does see individuals. But he sees individuals in their relationship, in their identity to one of these two men, either the first man, Adam, or the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, you can't be in both, okay? You can't be in both. Being in one is mutually exclusive to being in the other. just like death is mutually exclusive to life and life is mutually exclusive to death. In Adam the first is death, in Adam the last is life. You cannot be in both. Every person that's ever lived is either going to be found in Adam or in Christ. And what makes the difference is their faith in whatever God says to them at the time in which they lived, in the particular dispensation in which they lived. Noah, for example, God gave good news to Noah. He gave information to Noah. He gave bad news to Noah. That was the flood coming and so forth. But he gave Noah an opportunity to respond. Noah was born in Adam. Because he responded in faith, God was able to take him out of Adam and to identify him in Christ. Now Noah didn't know that, by the way. He didn't understand, you know, how a person could be, how he could be into Christ and so forth. You and I now know that. We can look back and say, wow, we see how God was able to justify people by faith in the blood of Christ, even though they didn't know to have faith in the blood of Christ. I mean, David didn't know to have faith in the blood of Christ. Simeon in the Old Testament, Judah, Jacob, and so those guys didn't know to have faith in the blood of Christ. You and I now know how that the cross of Christ, the blood of Christ, would be shed one day, and how therefore God was right to justify those people back then when they believed him. The common denominator is faith in whatever God says, okay? And that's how anyone who is ever born in Adam gets out of Adam and into Christ, okay? So again, the first thing to notice is this great comparison here, this great contrast, that there are really only two people, and that's Adam the first and Adam the last. Second thing to notice is this. This is huge here. It says at verse 45, and so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. Notice it says, the last Adam. In that verse, it doesn't say the second Adam. If you'll notice verse 47, it says the first man, and it says the second man. Well, what would be the potential problem if back to verse 45 now, back to verse 45 when it says the first man was made a living soul, what would be the potential problem if it said the second, I'm sorry, it says the first man Adam, and it says the last Adam. What would be the problem if it said the second Adam, instead of saying the last Adam? In other words, what's the significance of Paul saying here, the last Adam? He does say the second man down in verse 47, but why identify Christ here as the last Adam? What's the significance of the word last? That's right, you got it. There's not going to be another one. That's why. There's not going to be a third Adam and a fourth Adam and a fifth Adam and so forth, that type of thing. And because you know there's not going to be a third Adam and a fourth Adam and a fifth Adam, therefore, from verse 45, therefore you know at verse 47, even though he refers to Christ as the second man, he's not implying that there's potentially, theoretically, going to be a third man, a fourth man, and so forth, because the second man is the Lord, verse 47. The second man is the Lord. The second man is the Lord. The second man is the Lord. Notice how many times I said that? The second man is the Lord. I'm saying that for a couple of reasons. We're not actually to verse 47 yet, but I'm saying that for a couple of reasons so that we understand the man is the Lord. The man is the Lord. There's his humanity and there is his deity. And because he's both human and divine, that's why there's not going to be a third man, a fourth man, a fifth man, a sixth man. And that's why he is the last Adam. There's not going to be a third Adam. This Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, accomplished all that God sent him to do. He is the last Adam. You don't need another Adam. He's all you need, but you do need him. The other reason I'm emphasizing that verse 47, when it says the first man is of the earth, earthy, the second man is the Lord from heaven, is, and it's a little bit of a side note, but it is significantly important, and that is the new translations leave out the Lord out of verse 47. Let me read to you here. I'm reading out of the New American Standard, 1 Corinthians 15:47. It says this. It doesn't even say it the same way. It says this. The first man is from the earth, earthy. By the way, there's a difference between the word from and of. Okay? It says the first man is from the earth, earthy. And then it says this. The second man is from heaven. It completely left out the Lord. Did you notice that? The, follow along with your King James here. Look what it says. The first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is, and then it says, from heaven. It completely left out the Lord from heaven. That's important, friends. That's when you start showing people the differences in the translations, do include that one. That verse is a very clear statement about both the humanity and the deity of Christ. But that verse is a very clear statement as well that it was the man, that the man is the Lord that came from heaven. It required the Lord becoming a man, the Lord leaving heaven to become a man in order to get man out of this mess that he's in. Okay? And when you simply say, like the New Translation, well, this second man is from heaven, well, that doesn't mean it was God from heaven. That just means a man came from heaven. Jesus Christ is more than a man. You understand? He's the Lord. It required the Lord becoming a man, the Lord leaving heaven to get man out of this predicament that he's in. So again, the first thing to notice in this passage here is that the Apostle Paul sets off these two men who represent the federal head of all humanity, Adam and Christ. The first man, Adam, the last Adam. The second thing to notice is there's not going to be another Adam. You know, take your pick, would you? Take your pick. Go ahead and gamble with your soul. Go ahead and gamble with the eternal destiny of your soul. Take a pick. Who do you want to be identified with? Well, most people want to maintain their identity with Adam the first, the man of the earth, the earthy man. Most people are content with being there. Most people are content with their own good works, with the production of what they can do, with their religion, with their good deeds, with their self-effort, with their self-righteousness, whatever it might be. But friends, all that is, it's just earthy. Well, how's that going to get you to heaven? The difference between earth, earthy, and heaven, heavenly, is just that. It's an eternal difference. And, you know, take your pick. Who do you want to be found in? Do you want to be found in Adam the first or Adam the last? Do you want to be found in the one that brought sin and death or the one that provided life and peace? Do you want to be found in the one who is simply a man who's of the earth and his end is dust? Or do you want to be found in the man who is the Lord, who's from heaven and who is eternal? Go ahead, take your pick. Choose. Where do you want to be? Where do you want God to find you? Do you want God to find you in Adam the first, who is of the earth and returning to the earth, and actually did return to the earth already, his body did, okay? So you want to be just found, just under death, the sin, the curse, the condemnation, judgment, and wrath? Is that where you want to be found? Or do you want to be found where there is life and peace and hope and assurance and eternal and eternity? Eternal blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ, seated with him in the heavenly places. Go ahead and take your pick, because you got two choices. Flip a coin, you got a 50-50 chance. Okay, flip a coin, decide. Well, of course, I'm being kind of sarcastic here, and I'm not saying flip a coin. I mean, I know I said that, but trust Christ. I mean, look at the grand difference here. You stay in your identity with Adam, and all it says, and such are they also that are earthy. Man, that's your hope. That's your perspective. That's your return. It's dust, man. Such are they also that are earthy. You get dust. You get to return to the dust, that is your body, and then you get to live eternally under the condemnation that Adam brought, sin and death. So instead, it would be a better choice, an eternally better choice, an infinitely better choice, to realize that in Christ is life. Trust his shed blood, and God the Holy Spirit takes you out of Adam the first, puts you in Adam the last, where there is life. Where there is the heavenly prospect, the heavenly hope, eternal issues. Because it's the second man is the Lord from heaven. So that's first thing you want to notice is that there are two men who represent the federal head of all humanity. Adam the first, Adam the last. Second thing you want to notice is there's not going to be another one. The last Adam, he's already come, friends, and he's already been offered to humanity by his work on the cross of Calvary. So the third point is you got to decide where you're going to be found. You're going to be found in Adam the first or Adam the last. Look at what Adam the first has brought. Corruption, misery, heartbreak, shame, despair, death. Is that really where you want to be found? It's where you're born. It's where all of us are born. But what did Christ, Adam the last, bring? Resurrection, peace, hope, assurance, forgiveness, no condemnation, eternal home in the heavenly places, eternal glory. Isn't that amazing? Why in the world would a thinking person want to remain in Adam the first Well, yeah, it's because they don't think. Okay, they're trying to trust. They are trusting in their own goodness, their own works, and their own deeds. So he says again at verse 45, and so it is written: the first man, Adam, was made a living soul; the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now, what's the difference between that living soul and the quickening spirit? The difference is death or life. That's the difference. A living soul, the soul that sinneth, it shall what? Die. The difference is death and life. The quickening spirit, that's a life-giving spirit, the capacity to impart life. See the great difference there? One was subject to death, the other one gives life. One is subject to condemnation, the other one provides life and justification. One is temporal in the sense that it's because of its sin, it winds up in the lake of fire. That's the soul, the living soul and so forth. The other is eternal and lives with the Lord Jesus Christ, a quickening spirit, a life-giving spirit. Adam was made a living soul. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. So if the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, the most that he can impart to all that he brings forth is what he had. He cannot give any more to any of his descendants than what he himself was made of and had. His body was made of the dust of the ground, and he was a living soul. And a soul is subject to death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. So that's all he could impart to all of his children. A body of flesh and the dust of the ground and a soul that's subject to death. That's all. He couldn't give any more than he had. On the other hand, the Lord Jesus Christ, that last Adam, was made a quickening spirit. So, once again, all he can give to those in him is life. See, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit, quickening, life-giving spirit. He gives life. He can give what he has, but he can give no more. Just like Adam can only give what he has and he can't give any more. So that's why you get death if you're an Adam. But the Lord Jesus Christ gives what he has to give, and he gives life. A life-giving spirit there. Okay? Now, jump ahead if you would to verse 46 now. So he says this: howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. You understand his point there. It's a contrast and a comparison between the natural, physical, earthy body of Adam and the spiritual, eternal nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, all Adam could give was something that's natural. Okay, it's of the earth. It's earthy. All the Lord Jesus Christ could give is something that is spiritual and eternal. So, which do you want? And then he says at verse 47, the first man is of the earth. What is he? He's just earthy. The first man is of the earth. He's earthy. Go back with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 2 here. And you want to have these two verses written down next to that verse. Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2, and watch verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and it says this: and the Lord God formed man of what? Of the dust of the ground. Friends, that's all our bodies are. They're just of the dust of the ground. If you've ever had dust in your house, where you have to go get the duster or the whatever it is, that is it called in dust, where you spray off the, you know, maybe you got to dust your piano, or you got to dust your furniture or your plates or whatever it might be, the dishes, the pictures, you know, just realize that stuff that you're spraying with in dust or you're wiping off on your rag and throw it in the trash can, friends, that's all your body is, just the dust of the ground. Okay, you know, next time you spray that in dust and wipe that dust off, just say, wow, there was the body of someone. You know, my aunt, my uncle, my great long lost distant cousin from many generations ago, yeah, I just wiped them off my countertop there. You know, that yay, what hope we have in Adam, huh? He says the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And then look over to chapter 3, verse 19. You want to have these two verses written down next to that one in 1 Corinthians 15:47. Genesis 3:19, it says this: in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. You know, think about that. Till thou return. He doesn't say till thou return unto bliss and joy and everlasting consolation and good hope. He says till thou return unto the ground. Oh my, what prospect? What hope of the future? What you go up and say, hey, what's your hope for the future? I get to return to the ground. Yay. That's, he says, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. The hope of your body, the hope of your flesh, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. When Paul says over in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47, that's what he has in mind there when he says the first man, hey, he's just of the earth, he's earthy. The first man, I mean, Adam was a dirt man. He was just a man made out of the dirt and so forth. He wasn't made of eternal things. The body that he occupied was made of the dust of the ground. You see that? It says the first man is of the earth. He's earthy. That's what he is. And the man, if man's body is made of the earth, then look at verse 48. Look at verse 48. He says, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. Well, what do you know about the earth? Well, yeah, it's under the corruption. It's under decay. It's under the bondage of corruption according to Romans chapter number 8. And you see, that's why you look around out there and you see, as beautiful as this earth is, as glorious as it is, you still see death, decay, destruction, degeneration. He says here, the first man is of the earth. He's earthy. Verse 48, and as is the earthy, that's our bodies, such are they also the earthy. If when he says at verse 48, as is the earthy, again, he's talking about our body here, right? If he says, such are they also that are earthy, well, then whatever is true of the earth is going to be true of your body. Well, what does he mean? As is the earth, as is the earthy, such are they also the earthy. You know, they're subject to death. It's going to return to the dust and corruption. You see that there? You think about this, this is not exactly something to have a party over, is it? You know? But by contrast, he says at verse 47, the first man is of the earth, he's earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Verse 47. Notice that verse again. The second man is the Lord from heaven. The man is the Lord. The man is the Lord. The man, Christ Jesus, is the Lord, the Son of God. The man is the Lord. You see that in the verse? That verse? There's his humanity, and there's his deity, and there's where he came from. Adam the first came from the earth, he's earthy. Adam the last came from heaven, he's eternal. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And I will say again, the new translations at verse 47, they leave the Lord out of that verse. And friends, that's just plain wrong. You don't need to play second-class fiddle to all these people that get on your case about believing the King James Bible is the Word of God in the English language and so forth. You don't need to take a back seat to them when they laugh at you or mock you and that type of thing, or give you a hard time or say you're the one that's splitting churches. You don't need to take second fiddle to them. Take back seat. Say, listen, that matters to you. It should matter to you. Somebody comes along and leaves the Lord out of that verse. The second man is the Lord from heaven. It should matter to you, and it should matter to them if they profess to be a believer and they profess to be a Bible-believing Christian and so forth. It should matter to them. And just because it doesn't matter to them, don't let it not matter to you. That verse says, the second man is the Lord from heaven. Friends, that's a key passage of Scripture. It took the Lord from heaven to leave heaven to become a man in order to provide life for the sons of Adam the first. There was no other way it could happen. It didn't take just any man. It took the man who is the Lord from heaven. That's it. Just wasn't some man from heaven like the new translations say. It took the Lord, the man who is the Lord, from heaven. And when he came from heaven, you see, he brought everything that is in nature like heaven, that is eternal, spiritual, real, blessed. The first man, he's of the earth. He's just earthy. All he could give is what he had. And what did he have? An earthy body and a soul that was subject to death. The second man is the Lord from heaven, and all he could give is what he had. Eternal life, righteousness, hope, joy, peace, holiness. See that? And now we're at verse 48. He says, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And next to that verse, you got to write down Romans 8. And turn with me to Romans 8. Watch the idea of such are they, such are they, such are they that are earthy. Look over to Romans chapter number 8. Look over to Romans 8 verse 20. Romans 8 verse 20 says this. Romans 8 20 says this. For the creature was made, notice, subject to vanity. Subject to vanity. You know what vanity is. That's emptiness, to no purpose. Look at verse 21 now. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the, notice, bondage of corruption. What I want you to see is in verse 20 is the creature is made subject to vanity. Verse 21, it is obviously under the bondage of corruption. It's got to be delivered from that. When Paul says over in First Corinthians 15, verse 48, he says, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. Well, what about the earthy? The earthy is, according to Romans 8:20, it is subject to vanity. And according to Romans 8:21, it is under the bondage of corruption. That's those that are in Adam the first, that's what they are, as Paul says, such are they. Such are they also. 1 Corinthians 15:48, as is the earthy, well, what about the earthy? It's subject to vanity, and it's under the bondage of corruption. He says, such are they also that are earthy. They're subject to vanity, and they're under the bondage of corruption. That's what they are. That's what these bodies are. And then he says, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. That's your identity in Christ. That's what Christ offers. That's what Adam the last has to give. That's what the second man who is the Lord from heaven has to give. He gives heavenly things. That is life, righteousness, peace, hope, eternal bliss, joy forever. That's what he offers. As is the heavenly, such are... Whatever the heavenly is like, whatever its nature is like, then those that are part of Christ and in Christ, guess what? That's what they're going to have. Again, you can see the great contrast in the verse 48, as is the earthy. Whatever it is like, it's under the bondage of corruption, it is subject to vanity, then that's all it can give. That's all it is available to all those that are earthy. But as is the heavenly, whatever Christ has, whatever He's like in His nature, whatever heaven is like, righteousness, joy, peace, eternal life, eternal bliss, such are they also that are heavenly. If you're associated with Adam the last, the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in Christ, you're in the man who is the Lord, the second man who is the Lord from heaven, well then, friends, whatever Christ has to offer, that's what you get. And that's good news. And he says at verse 49, he says, and as we have borne the image of the earthy. And haven't we? And don't we yet? If you're listening to my voice right now, you still do bear that image of the earthy. You still have that old carcass of flesh, that old body of flesh. But Paul's statement is wonderful here. He says, as we have borne the image of the earthy. So just as sure as we bear that image of the earthy, he says, We, now what's the next word there? We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. As sure as you and I right now today bear Adam the first, his image, that's how sure, that's the guarantee, that's the earnest that you and I absolutely will bear the image of the heavenly, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second man who is the Lord from heaven. Look at what Philippians chapter number 3 says. Look at Philippians and chapter number 3, verse 20. He says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." The working whereby He is able to subdue all things, those all things are the thrones, dominions, principalities and powers in heavenly places as well as on the earth, by the way. It's Colossians 1:16, the all things. The working, the power, the ability, the right, the authority for God to subdue all things unto Himself, under the headship and authority of Jesus Christ, absolutely requires that God also change your vile body, my vile body, and fashion it like unto the glorious body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It requires it. He must do it. That's part of His plan to subdue all things, even these vile bodies. Look over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and then we're going to be done and open this up for question and answer. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved." Okay, again, see the reference to the earthly house and its capacity to be dissolved, like 1 Corinthians 15 said, "As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy." Our bodies are subject to the same things that this earth under the curse, subject to vanity, is subject to. See that? And he says over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1, he says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved," and guess what? "We have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And you know what? Verse 2, "For in this we groan." we sure do. We groan not only because we're in this present body, but we groan because we are anticipating, expecting, longing for, looking for the glorious return of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change these vile bodies. So just to wrap this up, look back at 1 Corinthians 15:49. He says, "As we have borne the image of the earthy," and we have, and we do. We got it. That's what our flesh is. That's what this whole chapter is about. You got a problem. It's called the body of this flesh, and it's subject to death. You got a problem. And it took the Lord from heaven. It took the second man, who is the Lord, from heaven, to come and provide a solution to that problem. And in Him is life. In Him is righteousness. In Him is peace. And He says at verse 49, "As we have borne the image of the earthy," and we have. And then He says, "We," what's the next word there? Shout it loud, would you? Let me see if I can hear you. Shout it loud. "We shall also bear the image of the heavenly." That's the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed His blood to save you and me from hell. You see that? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him is life. He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary, dying there for your sins and for my sins, and God raised Him from the dead as the evidence that His shed blood paid the full, complete price for every one of our sins. Friends, this is the best news you've ever heard. In Adam the first is death, in Adam the last is life. Look back with me over to verse 21. Go back to verse 21 there. And it says at verse 21, for since by man came what? That's right, by man came death. So Adam didn't have the solution. And it says, by man came also is the also the resurrection of the dead. But who is that man? That man is the man Christ Jesus. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. In Adam or Christ? Pick a man. Make your choice. Who do you want to be found in? When you stand before God, where do you want to be found? You want to be found in Adam the first or Adam the last? It's your choice. You get to decide. It's up to you. Do you want to be found in Adam the first, where there is death, condemnation, your flesh just returns to the dust of the ground? Or do you want to be found in Adam the last, the second man who is the Lord from heaven, who came and spilt his blood, shed his blood there at the cross of Calvary almost 2,000 years ago, rising from the dead as the evidence that his blood paid the full price, trusting his shed blood as a payment for all of your sins, every one of them, and receiving by faith the free gift of eternal life, and being taken out of Adam and being placed into Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom is life and righteousness and peace with God. All right, well, let's go ahead and open this up for question and answer at this point. So it looks like we had, by the way, I want to say hi to Stu, Stuart there. Appreciate you being with us today. We will be back for our next live session at, everybody say hi to Stu there, Stuart. Good to have him with us today. He and Dan have been having some real good Bible studies. We will be back at 7:30 for our next live session, and we're going to continue with our study of the book of Philippians. We should finish up Philippians over the next few weeks or so, and looking forward to the time together there. So once again, thanks for being with us. Remember, as always, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand. Thanks. Have a good day. Bye now.